Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and Dr. Tuli is with me here from Taiwan Adventist College, and we're talking about family road trips. We're titling this show Family Road Trip 2 because the first show was about our very first road trip together. I don't even know if you remember very much of it, Richard, but for me at 5, memories really began to take shape as you look at the world and you realize that the world is much more than just your home or just you. The world includes this vast, vast country. And I think that setting the stage for eternity is fantastic because a road trip, our family anthem was, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." And when we would sing that as we were traveling along, I would often think about, you know, this world isn't my home. You know, I'm just traveling on this world. So the analogy for the family road trip also became the analogy for my life and for my journey on this earth. And my ultimate destination wasn't the East, or wasn't Grandma and Grandpa's house, or wasn't the Alamo, but the ultimate destination was heaven. So that kind of sets the stage of where we're going today about the family road trip. We've kind of talked about what you shouldn't do, and today we're going to try to remember all the good memories we've had as kids on family road trips or that we've taken our own kids on and talk about all the things you should do. So, Dr. Tuli, you can start first.
Well, let's talk first about what we define as road trip. Now, a road trip to me doesn't have to be one of those trips that maybe takes days and days to do. Those are fun, but some families just don't have the money to be able to do that. That shouldn't stop the road trip from happening. You should go as a family to even local things within your community, things you normally wouldn't go to. One of the things we did with our kids is we took them to museums. Museums don't cost anything to go to. And there are so many things to see there. You can go to state parks and national parks, and the fees to get into those are very cheap. And there's going into the little museums at those parks are worth it. And one of the things that was a tradition for us is every park that we went into, usually there was a little quiz that the park had for children to take. And it taught them about the various flora and fauna that was in that park and details about why the park was made and everything. And so the kids would study those things and answer the questions that were on them, and then they would get a park badge. So they collected these cloth badges from the parks.
You know, I just love the idea of titling it something. I've chosen, you know, we're going to take a family road trip. By doing that, it changed the attitude. Instead of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? The trip became part of the experience that we could enjoy, whether we were looking out the window at just flat land with waving grain, or whether we were looking at majestic mountains as the car would climb. Whatever the case may be, that became part of the experience, and the way it was framed meant that we should enjoy that part of the experience too, not just the destination.
Right. The journey is actually the most important part of a road trip. Being able to experience things along the way. And, you know, you're trapped in a car with all of your children and the adults, and it shouldn't be a time when it's just silence. I mean, there's individual times that kids will have, and that's possible for them to have by having certain things for them to bring, like books or paper that they can draw on or puzzles or those kinds of things. One of the things I think is a very good idea to ban from a road trip is cell phones, because one of the things that you don't get when you have cell phones is you don't get the interaction with each other that I think is very important.
Yes. But if you just can't bear to ban cell phones, or if you use them in your family kind of as a leverage, you know, you can have your cell phone for so many minutes, or if, you know, you're not getting along, then you don't get your cell phone. A great thing that you can do is to have your children Google the things that you're looking at. Oh, I see a flower over there. I wonder if that flower is called a tiger lily. I mean, I had this discussion with my grandchildren today. I said, I think it's a tiger lily. And they go, well, I don't know. You know, and one of the grandsons had picked one for me. And so we had it in the car, and we were looking at the pollen and the pistil and everything, all the parts of it. And so he Googled. He goes, it's not a tiger lily, Grandma. It's a day lily. So we all now know what a day lily is. And that's taking a tool that can cause isolation and become an educational tool.
Yeah, I think that's a good use of that kind of technology. The tendency for young people today is to be so buried in that cell phone that they don't actually have much time for face-to-face interaction. And that's where I say, if you can do it, if you can at all do it, start before you go on road trips. Start it as a part of your family policy that FaceTime is very important. And the people who set the culture for that are the parents.
Absolutely. And do you have, we have like a few minutes before we go to break, do you have a list of games that you can do in the car without a cell phone?
How about, remember this one? She comes, she comes.
She comes, she comes. That's a great one.
Yeah, what does she come on? She comes on a H, and then people have to say, is it inside or outside? And they have to look for it. Another one they can do when they're a little bit older and know the alphabet and know some words is do the ABCs. And you look for signs and license plates and different things to go through the alphabet by looking outside of the car at all of the signs and everything that's going by. See if you can, who gets to Z first.
Yes, and it's amazing the few times I've ridden with different sets of grandchildren that, you know, I would say, do you want to play She Comes, She Comes? They were very intrigued by the idea of playing She Comes, She Comes. So now that's a big hit. If I ride along, they will put their cell phones down because they can hardly wait to play She Comes, She Comes.
Yeah, and I think another name for that works is I Spy with My Little Eye.
Yes. I'm trying to think of some of the things that we would do when we were very young. Of course, we did sing. We would have marathons to see if we could sing without stopping until we reached the other, you know, where we were going. And we would sing every hymn. We would sing every children's song. And we just, you know, if someone, we'd get to the end of the song and then who else, you know, someone had to think of another song quickly. That was a lot of fun. And I don't know if families, you know, still have fun in that simple way anymore, but we'd love to hear from you. You can go on our Facebook page and comment about any of the shows that we do. Say, you know, whatever. You can come to my personal page, which is, you know, just Rose Gamblin, or you can go to my Education Currents page. I'm happy to interact with you any which way, because there is something that's very fundamental about a family going on a road trip, and they need to plan it periodically. It It's just not once in a lifetime. It needs to be on a regular basis, at least every summer or maybe at Christmas vacation. So
I think going on a road trip, like I say, you can have major road trips and you can have minor ones. And I think it's worthwhile trying to do something every month that is a minor road trip, at least, where you go out and you visit a museum, or you go out and you visit the city park or the state park or whatever else is around you. You get out and go somewhere to something. There are plenty of destinations all over. Wherever you live, there are little places that you don't even know exist. Look them up and take your kids there. They'll learn.
Yes, and they learn that mom and dad thinks these things are important, and so it becomes important to them. Probably one of the biggest benefits when you get out of the house is that you as the parents are now focused on your children and on what they are learning, and you get to see the world again through the eyes of your child, which is a blessing in itself. I'm thinking of, I have to take a break here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the most beneficial road trips you've ever experienced, both maybe as a child and also that you helped facilitate as a parent. So we'll be right back.
What are you doing?
I'm building a tower. What's it look like I'm doing?
It looks like you're heading for that drugstore across the street.
Yes, that's what I do every day after school. You should know that.
But you always buy a candy bar there.
That's right.
Why?
Because I like candy bars, especially the ones with nuts.
But those aren't good for you. They have lots of calories and nothing to keep you from getting sick.
Want one?
Sam, I'm trying to make a point here. By going to that drugstore every day after school, you have formed an unhealthy habit.
I do want to be healthy.
Well, going there isn't going to help you very much, is it?
What should I do?
Make a new habit.
Like what?
Well, do you see Mr. Habib's fruit market over there by the bank?
Mr. Habib is a great guy. He can whistle two notes at the same time.
How about after school you go there instead of the drugstore?
Mr. Herbie doesn't sell candy bars.
But he does sell apples, pears, and mangoes. They're sweet, delicious, and filled with things that will make you healthy. That way you can still buy an after-school snack, but your new habit won't rot your teeth and make you as fat as my Uncle Sydney.
What if I get hungry for a candy bar?
Then you eat an apple instead. Pretty soon, your brain will think, I'm hungry, I want an apple.
Okay, let's go see Mr. Habib. He's from Lebanon, you know. Do you think all people from Lebanon can whistle two notes at the same time?
We can ask him.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about the family road trip, the pros and cons, and, you know, the ideal family road trip would be a family that had unlimited resources and everyone was of the age and maturation that they could manage themselves. There was no conflict. You had it well planned. You had no emergencies that came up. That's the ideal. But in reality, we all have limited resources. Our children are of all different ages, and we still believe wholeheartedly that the family needs to go on a road trip. For one thing, in school now, in public school, they are really limiting the amount of time students can go on field trips. So they have maybe one field trip, one grand field trip, in the whole year. And if you misbehave, then you don't get to go on that field trip. It's used as a motivator. That's one reason why families need to pick up and make sure that they're giving their children these rich experiences. So let's talk about, we've talked about some of the games you can do. Let's talk about some of the most memorable experiences you've had either as a child on your road trips, Dr. Tooley, or you've helped facilitate as the father of your family, the dad.
You know, one thing comes to mind really quickly. You know, we lived in New York City, and I never went up the Empire State Building. So you think about that. We take for granted the things that are within a real close proximity to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the first road trips, if I put them in quotes, that I remember were simple things. We went to the airport. We had a regional airport that we would go to on a Saturday night, oftentimes. And watch, we were little, we'd watch the big airplanes come in. It was a regional airport serviced by an airline, a small airline, and we would go there and watch the big airplanes come in. And that was a very memorable time for us to be able to go and do that. Well, that was simple. It wasn't that far away. We drove there, and the family had a lot of fun sitting there as kids watching the airplanes come in and out. I mean, it was exciting for us waiting for those airplanes to come in. But those kinds of things create memories for us. And then for us, as I became an adult and we had children, my wife was the road trip queen. If there was some place to see, she wanted to make sure that the kids saw it. And so we went to all of the different museums, all of the different attractions in an area that we lived in, we would go there and take them. And I think the benefits that come from these, you know, we haven't delved into them too much, but there's some very serious benefits that have to do with critical thinking and headspace for being able to do problem solving, decision making.
Mm-hmm.
All of these get built on what a person has in their brain, you know, what kind of memories they have, what kind of thoughts they have. It's when you're making these kinds of trips, it doesn't just give good memories. It adds headspace to a child's ability to think. So we went on a lot of very interesting road trips. I remember some of the burn it till you wish you had died road trips that we actually did, traveling from New York City to Portland, Oregon in 36 hours.
Yeah, I do not recommend that as a road trip because that's pretty intense.
Yeah, that is not what I would consider to be the all-time best road trip that one could make. I think figuring out where you want to go within a pretty short proximity of where you live is worth it to make. When we lived in Maryland, we would go up to Pennsylvania. We took the children up to the Raptors place up in Pennsylvania, where they got to see all of the Raptor birds. And then while we were there, there was a Civil War park there that's worth going and visiting. And there were houses of famous people like around there. There's Thomas Jefferson's Monticello, there's Madison's house, there's George Washington's house. So we went to all of those different places and took the children to those places. We would plan trips for those kinds of things specifically and take the children to be able to see them. We went to the local zoo. We went to the local museums and spent time going through the museums and then interacting with the children, saying, you know, what do you see here? What does this mean? So that they got an idea of something. And some of these things, yeah, they're young. You have to make it as much as you can age appropriate. But it's very fascinating how much that sticks in their mind.
Yes.
My son is in love with history today, and probably large part due to the fact that he was immersed in it.
Yes, I was just talking to Riker a few minutes ago, and I was sharing with him some of the things that we have already talked about. I said, we're going to do a couple of shows with your dad, and the title's going to be The Family Road Trip. And he looks at me and he goes, you know, I wish I could go back to the Alamo. He goes, I know so much more about it now than I did when I was there, and I need to go back. And I thought, you know, that's true. The first impression, there's usually not the deep framework, but children will remember then as they study it, and they'll remember that, oh yeah, I was there. Oh, that's what that meant. Oh, that's what really happened, you know. And I thought that was kind of cool that he recognized, hey, I need to go back there. And I said, well, you know, Riker, I'm sure you'll be able to go on plenty of road trips as soon as you're finished with your degree.
Yeah, the interesting thing is all of these things get put into people's minds, and they sit there. Sometimes it sits there dormant. And then something sparks it, and that memory comes back and becomes part of creating some living reality for them. So road trips have these advantages if you use them correctly, and you make them a time when the family is actually working together. It's so easy for parents to get lost in parenting and to the detriment of the relationship with their children.
That's probably the most profound statement, and the big takeaway of this whole show on road trips is the relationship that you are building with your children. It's of utmost importance.
I mean, right now, I know that if I were to say the word road trip to my daughters, they would be jumping up and down at their ages to go on a road trip.
Yeah, so I don't know how you could. Well, maybe you're going to take them to Malaysia. That's your road trip.
They're going to kind of get a plane trip. But yeah, our intention, we have a mission trip to Malaysia, and we want them to be able to go with us and experience that culture there.
And that could, all the principles that we've talked about the road trip also pertains to those mission trips that your children can be involved in. Just it's profound experiential learning. It's wonderful if you can go along, but God does provide for surrogate mothers and fathers when they just get too busy. And I praise God for that, because I know, you know, with my parents, I can freely talk about them now because they're asleep in Jesus. And I know on that resurrection day, we'll have a lot to say, a lot to catch up on. But I'm thankful that they, as poor as they were, found ways to take us on road trips and to take us on mission experiences. Our lives have been wealthy beyond belief because of it.
Yeah, you don't need a whole pile of money to make a very good road trip.
And, you know, that being said, we've come to the end of the show. And maybe as you listen to this show, you and your family were on a road trip. Whatever the case may be, we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.